The chair calls the third meeting of the ALA Council to order. Would all councilors please take your seats in the reserved section in the front of the room? At this meeting, we will again follow the same rules that were approved during the ALA Council 1 meeting. Again, as a courtesy to others, please turn off your cell phones or to silent prompting. If you need to make or take a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. Also, please watch the overhead screen for the motion descriptions to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Your voting record is at your place. You should have a blue card for this morning. If you must leave before adjournment, which I think is unlikely given how much business we have and how much time we have to do that, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood. A quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors. We have well over 75 councilors here. Therefore, we have a quorum. Written reports should not be read, and when resolutions are presented, only the resolved clauses should be read. The agenda, Council Document 8.7, revised 1/23/12, 8:30 p.m., and all other documents issued since the last council meeting are available at the document pickup station in this room. I would suggest that those of you who are on the agenda come to the stage and sit beside Keith Michael Fields shortly before your presentation. This will enable us to move through the agenda more effectively. We have received the following resolution to add under new business. Resolution on publishers and practices which discriminate against library users, ALA Council Document Number 35, revised. Do you have any other new business to add at this time? Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing no objections, the chair declares the agenda adopted. Council Policy 5.3.15 provides that memorials, tributes, and testimonials will be presented at the beginning of the last session of the ALA Council at the Midwinter Conference. I will now read the names of the persons recognized by memorial resolutions. Let us stand as I read the names of those who are being remembered today. They are Dorothy Broderick, D. Whitney Coe, John Minto Dawson, and Robert W. Houck. Thank you. Please be seated. We have received 5 tribute resolutions to announce today. Jill Nishi, Lois Ann Gregory Wood, who is actually here. And who would have preferred that I not do that? Mary Ellen Troutman, William J. Borman, and Norman A. Sugarman Children's Biography Award presented by the Cleveland Public Library. It says on my script to pause for applause, so you can applaud the others. Copies of the memorials, tributes, and testimonials are available at the council document pickup station in this room. I now call your attention to ALA, microphone 2.
Bridler, Elizabeth Bridler, Councilor at Large. Point of information, are we going to be discussing the resolution on e-books? Because it doesn't appear on the agenda and it was referred to Council 3.
It's on the back of the agenda under new business.
No, that's a separate one. That's, oh, okay. Thank you.
Microphone 7.
I was late in call for seconders for the resolution honoring Lois.
Could you identify yourself first? I'm sorry.
Mike Marlin, counselor at large. I'd like to submit my name as one of the seconders on the Lois and Gregory Wood tribute resolution, if that's okay.
I'm sure we can make that adjustment.
Thank you.
I now call your attention to ALA Council Document Number 11.2 and ask Councilor Henry Stewart, Chair of the Tellers Committee, to present the ALA Executive Board election results.
Thank you, Madam President. The Tellers Committee met last evening at 7:30. There were 150 councilors who picked up ballots. There were 150 ballots that were counted. There were no void ballots. And the executive board members who were elected were Robert Banks, Alexia Hudson, and John Mormon. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you very much, Henry, and congratulations to the three of you. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 19 and 19.1 and call upon Pat R. Scales, Chair of the Intellectual Freedom Committee, to report. Pat?
Thank you. You have the report before you, but I do have about three things I would like to highlight. The Office of Intellectual Freedom and the Intellectual Freedom Committee has been very busy since we last reported to you at annual. One of the main things I want to call your attention to on our report is the challenge database, because we are changing that. And currently, as you know, we have since 1990, been collecting challenges that have occurred in all types of libraries all across the country. Those are picked up by individuals who actually, file those challenges with us or through media reports. But we have outgrown our software for keeping up with those challenges. So we are in the process of changing that. But still, we know that most challenges go unreported. So we're launching a campaign called Defend the Freedom to Read. It's everybody's job. And we ask that you take a look at the URL that's provided in your report. And please, we encourage you to let us know when challenges occur. This is how we gather statistics. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. The top 10, most challenged books and the materials that we put out for your use. The other thing that I would like to call your attention to is that the Choose Privacy Week, the third Choose Privacy Week will be May 1st through the 7th, and we hope you will all take part. But one way that you can take part is by participating in our survey online. And that URL is applied, is also in your report. But we encourage everyone to please take that survey. We need this information. Also, the theme for this year is freedom from surveillance. We have updated the Internet Toolkit. This has been a long time coming. But the Intellectual Freedom Committee approved the final draft, and it's now updated, called Libraries and Internet Toolkit, Tips and Guidance for Managing and Communicating About the Internet. And this toolkit is available online. I want to thank our 2010 ALA emerging leaders who helped with this project, and also Martin Garner, former ALA Intellectual Freedom Committee member who spearheaded this. They have done a magnificent job. The last thing that I want to call to your attention is Banned Books Week. And the reason I want to mention this especially today is this is 2012 will be the 30th anniversary of the celebration of this special week. We are taking our celebration. It's always gone on nationwide, and most of your libraries you do celebrate. But we have done virtual readouts with writers and librarians and library patrons who read from their favorite challenged book. And so we encourage you to go to our website, which is provided to you in our report, and perhaps consider doing a YouTube video yourself or encouraging your patrons. Join Whoopi Goldberg. She is our celebrity that has read for this virtual readout. And we have had an unusual number of hits on the YouTube channel for this. Today, we are bringing, as part of our report, we're bringing one action item.
Pat, could I ask, just stop and ask if anyone has questions on your report before we go on to the action item?
thank you. Sorry.
Microphone 3.
Rocco Steno, New York chapter counselor. Pat, during Banned Book Week this year, will there be Banned Website Day?
Yes. We're working on that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Microphone 5.
Eileen Baj, member at large. It's not a question, but it's a comment. I just wanted to thank you in the name of all the emerging leaders of 2010 for having the opportunity to work with IFC.
And thank
I'm
you
I'm a counselor
so much.
Now, but I was the emerging leader in, the, yes. in that, doing that project at the time.
Yes, you were, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. All right, today we're bringing one action item as a part of our report. We do have, before I make the resolution, we have a couple of changes which will appear on the screen. These changes were made at the advice that we received in council forum last night, and they're minor, very minor. The current... let me find it. Hold on. All right. The resolution is Council Document 9.1. And the title now reads, Resolution Opposing Restriction to Materials in Open Inquiry in Arizona Ethnic and Cultural Studies Programs.
Okay. Can you read that again? We want to make sure we are doing this orally as well as documents it's, that... Do people have the... Yes, but we have someone who has visual impairment, so we need to make sure we're giving okay. that information. So would you read the title again?
All right, I will read again. Resolution Opposing Restriction to Materials and Open Inquiry in Arizona Ethnic and Cultural Studies Programs. And I have two more minor changes when, okay.
Go ahead and.
In the fourth whereas, second sentence, after the statute numbers, there's a comma that previously read has eliminated. It now reads had to eliminate.
Read previously reads what?
How, it previously read has eliminated its Mexican American studies. It now reads had to eliminate.
Okay.
And the final change is actually in the second resolve.
Okay.
Omitted some words here. It now reads condemns restriction of access.
So
strike the confiscation and strike those three words.
So would you now read the resolve?
I will now read the resolve. Hold on. I've got so many papers up here from playing with this thing. Okay. The Intellectual Freedom Committee believes it is necessary that ALA respond with a unified voice to recent news reports highlighting...
Pat, all you need to read is,
okay,
is just,
they're
just the resolve
okay.
that the American
right,
Library Association...
We'll all right, resolve that the American Library Association condemns the suppression of open inquiry and free expression caused by closure of ethnic and cultural studies programs on the basis of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. The second resolve condemns restriction of access to educational materials associated with ethnic and cultural studies programs. And the third resolve reads, urges the Arizona legislature to pass House Bill 2654, an act repealing sections 15111 and 15112, Arizona revised statutes relating to school curriculum.
Is there any discussion? Microphone 7.
Tom Wilding. What am I, counselor at large, and probably the only person in this room who lives in or around Tucson. First of all, I want to thank the committee very much for the changes it made. I think it improves the resolution. I have issues with it. I wish it told more of the whole story behind this whole mess, but I think it's important that this council do something and say something about this now, and we could argue for 4 hours about what that should be. But as the only resident of the area and affected person by all this, I am happy to support this as it stands.
Thank you. Microphone 5.
Dora Ho, Counselor at Large. Just wanted to be on the record that the Chinese American Librarians Association also endorsed this.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. I would want to thank the committee for being so responsive to the forum last night. I still think that there's a problem with the title. It implies that there's one statewide Arizona ethnic and cultural studies program, and it seems to me that the end of it should be open inquiry in ethnic and cultural study programs, plural, in Arizona. And I'd like to move that that be changed so that it will now read, resolution opposing restriction of access to materials and open inquiry in ethnic and cultural studies programs in Arizona.
Would you, do you have that in writing?
No.
Is there any objection to this change?
Yes. Resolution opposing restriction of access to materials and open inquiry in ethnic and cultural studies programs in Arizona.
So basically, you're moving the in Arizona to the end of the...
And changing program from singular to plural.
Any objection to this change? Seeing none, we will change it. Projection, so okay with... Okay. Microphone 7.
Peter Hepburn, GLBT Roundtable Counselor. Just a couple of questions for clarification. First of all, it's not clear to me that these items were removed or they've been restricted from access in school libraries. Is it only that they've been removed from the classrooms? And secondly, if it is that they've only been removed from the classrooms, has ALA had a history of dealing with classroom materials or really only libraries? Thank you.
Do I need to respond to that?
Yes, if you can.
The people on the ground in Arizona that we have kind of worked with and working on this resolution all weekend have indicated that the materials are not readily available in the libraries. There are a few, but not all of the books that have been removed from this program. So kids have actually, they actually, for the most part, do not have access to these materials. We were purposely broad because the facts are changing almost daily. Just this morning, you know, I had two newspaper articles sent to me about this story, and so things are just changing daily, so we wanted to leave it as broad as possible so that we would be accurate when it goes.
I don't know if anyone has any information about whether we've passed resolutions in the past that have been focused primarily on the classroom rather than on the school libraries. Okay, no one feels confident enough to answer this question definitively about whether we have. I think we'd have to take a look at the past in order to answer that. Okay, microphone 7.
Zora Sampson, counselor at large, enrolled Choctaw from Oklahoma and member of American Indian Library Association. Just to go on record that the American Indian Library Association also supports this resolution.
Thank you. Microphone 2.
Elizabeth Riddler, counselor at large, and in my former life many years ago as a school teacher librarian. The restriction on reading lists, which was part of the report that we discussed last night at forum, is a restriction on access to libraries, because if they cannot make reading lists that include titles specifically that may be in the library or not, it's a restriction on the freedom of access. Also, it implies when there's a curriculum restriction, it also filters down to the library inevitably in buying decisions, etc. So it has a chilling effect on the issue of the library. And in addition, the American Library Association is on record as opposing these kinds of restriction on free speech and access to reading on a broad scale, which indeed this is. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Ryan Schottlander, Alex Division Counselor. The first resolved statement, which condemns the suppression of open inquiry and free expression caused by the closure of such programs on the basis of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Do we know that the program that was closed in the Tucson Unified District was closed on those bases?
Yes, we do.
Microphone 7.
Nick Buron, YALSA counselor, on behalf of the YALSA board, who saw this yesterday, we are also on record for supporting this resolution.
Thank you. Microphone 5.
Linda Williams, executive board, counselor at large. I just wanted to reiterate what the former counselor stated. School libraries support the curriculum, therefore they will also be at eliminating materials, and there will not be free access. So you really can't say classroom and school libraries are totally different. They work together. So I definitely support the resolution.
Thank you. Microphone 7.
John Mormon, IFRT counselor, to go on record that the Intellectual Freedom Roundtable endorses this resolution in principle.
Thank you. Microphone 3.
Sarah Kelly Johns, AASL division counselor. The AASL Executive Committee looked at this resolution yesterday, and I'd like to go on record that we support it in principle as well. And I would, on a personal note, I really like, very much appreciate the fact that this protects further action in any other area in Arizona, and I'm glad to, I will be very glad to see that repealed. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Mario Gonzalez, counselor at large. To me, it's inconceivable and unbelievable, and hearing the questions on the council floor, that this can happen in this great country of ours, that we can stop people from learning and the freedom to read. So I strongly support this resolution.
Thank you. Seeing no one at the microphone, are we ready to proceed to the vote? All those in favor, please raise one of your hands. Thank you. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion passes.
Thank you.
Please mark your ballot, Council Document Number 19.1, revised. I now refer you to ALA Council Document Number 20 through 20.3. And call upon ALA Councilor Eva Poole, Chair of the Committee on Legislation, to report. Eva?
Good morning, Council. The ALA Committee on Legislation brings this report to Council with three resolutions for your action. In addition, the COL is exploring new methods to advance advocacy techniques to help extend our voice and mobilize advances to promote our legislative agenda. And I would like to encourage everyone to attend National Library Legislation Day on April 23rd and 24th in Washington, D.C. We refer you to the ALA Washington Office six-month report previously made available to you, where you will find additional information about recent legislative activities of COL, as well as the ALA Office of Government Relations. The Committee on Legislation brings you the following three action items. First, resolution opposing the Research Works Act. Resolved that the American Library Association urged the U.S. Congress to reject the Research Works Act, H.R. 3699, because it not only threatens future public access to federally funded research, but also nullifies the public access already provided to NIH peer-reviewed journal manuscripts. And two, reaffirm its support for the expansion of the NIH public access policy to other federal agencies and departments. This resolution was endorsed in principle by the Intellectual Freedom Roundtable and Government Documents Roundtable.
Is there any discussion? Microphone 7.
Maggie Farrell, ACRL counselor. ACRL considered the resolution and supports it in principle and encourage council members to vote for this. We've made such great strides with the NIH policy that academic and libraries would like to see this continue to other agencies and improve access to federally funded research. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Larry Romans, counselor at large and chair of the Resolutions Committee. Just a housekeeping thing. We don't use the subjunctive, and all three of these do. So all of them need to say urges rather than urge, reaffirms rather than reaffirm. So if you'd make that housekeeping change.
Thank you. And now just a point of information for new counselors. Council delegated to the executive director the authority to make those kinds of housekeeping corrections without changing the meaning or purpose of the resolution. So that will, in fact, be fixed. Thank you, though, Larry. Microphone 7.
Wanda Dole, Library Research Roundtable Counselor, LRRT, supports and endorses this.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Brian Schottlander, Elects Division Counselor, the Association for Library Collections and Technical Services, joins our colleagues in ACRL in strongly supporting this resolution. The advances that we have made, very small advances, are critically important to maintaining the scholarly record, and we would hate to see them rolled back at this point.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Julie Schneider, Counselor at Large, and I'm extremely supportive of this resolution, but I would argue for a small language change to the first resolved that public access already provided to peer-reviewed journal manuscripts resulting from NIH funding. They're all not just NIH peer-reviewed journal manuscripts necessarily.
Is there any objection to this being added? Yeah, could you read the resolve clause as it would be, as you're proposing?
Urges the U.S. Congress to reject the Research Works Act, H.R. 3699, because it not only threatens future public access to federally funded research, but also nullifies the public access already provided to peer-reviewed journal manuscripts resulting from NIH funding.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, then we will add that wording. You're okay over there. Okay, it's on the screen. No? Okay. Could you fill out a Okay, it is correct on the screen. I'm going to read it again. Urges the U.S. Congress to reject the Research Works Act, H.R. 3699, because it not only threatens future public access to federally funded research, but also nullifies the public access already provided to peer-reviewed journal manuscripts resulting from NIH funding. Okay? Is there any further discussion? Would all those in favor please raise one of your hands? All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion passes. Mark your ballot, CD number 20.1 revised.
Second, resolution opposing the preventing real online threats to economic creativity and theft of intellectual property act of 2011 and the Stop Online Piracy Act. Resolved that the American Library Association urges Congress to reject both the S-968 HIPAA bill in the U.S. Senate and H.R. 3261 SOPA bill in the U.S. House of Representatives because they compromise such fundamental rights as free speech, intellectual freedom, and privacy in an attempt to target foreign websites and combat online infringement overseas. Opposes any legislation that compromises ALA's core principles and stifles the dynamic, innovative potential of the global internet. This resolution was endorsed in principle by the Intellectual Freedom Roundtable and Government Documents Roundtable.
Is there any discussion? Microphone 7.
Maggie Farrell, ACRL Counselor. ACRL also endorses this resolution and encourages your vote in favor of the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else at the microphones, we'll proceed to the vote. All those in favor, please raise one of your hands. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion passes. Mark your ballot, CD number 20.2. Microphone 6.
Larry Romans, Counselor at Large. I looked on the ALA website for information about these two acts, which I think are probably the most important thing going on legislatively right now, and I felt there wasn't nearly enough information to provide guidance to our members about what these two acts are talking about, Well, that's the main thing, because there are a list of things you can do, but the information about the acts is really inadequate, and I hope that something will be done by the Washington office to enhance that. The stuff that looked like it was going to be really useful had just been taken off the site about a month ago.
I'm sure Washington office staff is here and will take that request and comment seriously. Microphone 2.
The Riddler, Counselor at Large. Just for your information, this is a very egregious act. It interferes with the websites of at least 22 countries outside the United States, directly Canada, Mexico, and 20 Caribbean countries, because of the fact that the IP addresses are created in the United States by the company that's situated here. They are basically, under this law, treated as American websites. So it's broader than you think, and it's greatly resented.
Thank you. I think we're ready to move on to the third resolution.
Okay. And our third resolution.
Yes, we did. We voted on it. This was after discussion after. Go ahead, Eva.
Resolution on the loss of crucial government information. Resolved that the American Library Association urges U.S. Congress to restore funding to ensure permanent, no-fee public access to aggregated sources of government information. 2, urges the establishment of a mandated process with adequate notification to include the opportunity for public notice and comment with consultation by librarians, researchers, small businesses, and other appropriate stakeholders before decisions are made to discontinue access to current or historical information resources when the federal government initiates, significantly modifies, or terminates information products. 3, urges Congress to require the agencies discontinuing access to current or historical information resources transfer the content and related functionality to the U.S. government printing office or other public institutions that can ensure continued no-fee digital access to this information. And 4, urges Congress to improve the federal government's policies and capabilities for making government information available to the public in an open, timely, participatory, and transparent manner. This resolution was endorsed by the Government Document Roundtable and endorsed in principle by the Social Responsibilities Roundtable.
Is there any discussion? Microphone 3.
Roberta Stevens, immediate past president, and I hope that this resolution is given to the White House staff as well, because their chief technology or information officer, whatever the title is, I personally heard him talking about the model that they were moving toward, which was not to be providing this type of information to us, to everyone, all Americans, but instead to be working with private sector firms.
Thank you. Seeing no one else at the microphone, we'll proceed to the vote. Would all those in favor of resolution on the loss of crucial government information please raise one of your hands? Thank you. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion carries. Mark your ballot, CD number 20.3.
And Molly, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the members of COL and the Office of Government Relations for their professionalism and support during my year as president. Not president. I'm sorry. You're the president as chair.
She's just preparing because she's the president-elect of PLA, so she will be. Thank you. And thank you for your report. I now direct your attention to ALA Council Document Number 18 and call upon Shali Zhang, Chair of the International Relations Committee, to present the report. Shali?
Good morning. International Relations Committee has submitted a written report. I would like to take this opportunity to provide you only a few highlights of the committee's work. At the beginning of the midwinter meeting, our colleagues at the International Relations Roundtable organized a welcome reception for international librarians. This year, we have 95 international librarians at the midwinter meeting. The conference site in Dallas really provides them with a unique Texas experience. The committee continued its hard work on developing and planning international activities with the goals and objectives in the 2015 International Strategic Plan, which was shared with you last year. Several LA units and offices were invited to contribute action plans. They also take responsibilities to help carry out the planned activities. At this midwinter meeting, Ms. Ingrid Perrant, IFLA president, was here. She attended several events and met LA members here. At the IFLA update session, she shared the IFLA's 5 program priorities and her presidential term, digital contents, international leadership development, outreach, cultural heritage reconstruction, and multiculturalism. Ms. Perron spoke highly on the contributions and support from LA and its members. In August last year, more than 400 LA members participated in the 2011 IFLA Congress in San Juan, Puerto Rico. At the IFLA conference, LA also organized a program that highlighted the efforts in Argentina, Barbados, and Taiwan as a part of the campaign for the World Libraries Program. International Relations Office arranged several book fairs since last June. 10 LA members took part in Hong Kong Book Fair. 65 LA members were selected to participate in the American Read Spanish program. More than 100 LA members participated in the Guadalajara Book Fair, which was the 15th anniversary of the LA Guadalajara Book Fair Free Pass program. LA recently signed a new agreement to continue this Free Pass program through 2015. International Relations Committee would like to recognize President Molly Raphael's commitment and outreach efforts in representing LA at international events. President Raphael gave a keynote speech and a workshop at the Library Information Association of New Zealand in Wellington. She represented LA at the IFLA conference in San Juan and at the Guadalajara Book Fair. Also, LA President-elect Maureen Sullivan also participated in the IFLA conference. Thank you, Madam President and Madam President-elect, for reaching out to our international colleagues. International Relations Office continued coordinating and receiving donations by LA members for the relief funds with libraries in Japan, Haiti, and Chile. We are looking forward to your continued support to our colleagues in those countries whose libraries were affected by natural disasters. During the midwinter meeting, the International Relations Committee received reports from the LA representatives to the Board of Trustees of American Library in Paris with Winston Tebb, to the U.S. National Commissions for UNESCO with Barbara Ford, and to the U.S. Committee of Blue Shield with Nancy Quinn. In partnership with the Library Congress Center for Book, American Libraries in Paris will participate for the first time in the center's popular Letters About Lecture program. At the International Conference in Moscow, Russia, organized by the UNESCO Information for All programs, the conference developed a document, the Moscow Declaration in Digital Information Preservation. The Blue Shield has helped Smithsonian with Haiti Cultural Recovery Center to carry on preservation work. This year, International Relations Committee and Office will again work with LA units on IFLA nomination. Currently, 125 LA members have served 43 IFLA standing committees, which provide opportunities for them to connect, contribute, and share experience with librarians from other countries. Our committee wants to express our appreciation to Mr. Marco Dowling and his office staff for his outstanding support to the committee work and many other tasks. This concludes my brief report. Thank you.
Is there any discussion of the report? Any questions? Just a point to add that it's very interesting how much we are able to take advantage of opportunities to connect with other countries and their work in librarianship, and it's very much a result of the activities of our own members that helps us get there. Kala is working on a trip for me to China in May, And I believe President-elect Maureen Sullivan is already going to an event in China. China's being very active in the area of librarianship. Roberta talked about that. Past President Roberta Stevens talked about that last year. And also former President Carol Brazcassiano, who's now in Brazil, is trying to arrange for the State Department-sponsored trip for me to come to Brazil as well, where there's an opportunity to really engage with librarians there. Microphone three.
Stephanie Bronstein, Louisiana local chapter council. I'm just curious about the sentence that says the 2012 IFLA Congress will be in Helsinki, Finland in August 2012. IRO will assist ALA members' participation in the conference. Can I get some idea of how that what that assistance would be?
Marco Dolling is here. I can refer Marco Dolling. Can we get Michael Dowling to
Is Michael Dowling here? Yeah, may I ask Council's indulgence for Michael Dowling to, who is the International Relations Officer for the ALA, to speak? Yes, thank you. Michael?
Thank you, yes. ALA, we do not provide direct financial support for participation for any of the ALA members to get to IFLA, so just wanted to be clear on that. Our assistance is in guidance on individuals who want to participate in IFLA, how they can participate, how, if they're going to the conference, how they can navigate that. So it's kind of a reverse philosophy as far as how we coordinate with our international colleagues coming to ALA. We try to provide our ALA members as much information as we can so that they have a great experience at IFLA. So that's the assistance.
And IFLA is quite a different conference from what the sort of format and structure of the ALA conference. Any further discussion? Thank you very much, Ali.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, microphone six, sorry.
Mario Gonzalez, Councilor at Large. I was one of the participants at this new book fair, the Liber, which takes place in Spain. And I was happy to say that all of the American librarians that were there spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in purchasing Spanish language materials. It gives us an opportunity to let the distributors know what they should bring to the United States. And I found some of the most beautiful children books that I've ever seen at this publication published back in October. So I want to thank ALA and America Reads for giving that opportunity to over 60 librarians from the United States to attend this.
And this is a new partnership that ALA has. I'd also encourage you to spread the word about the Guadalajara Book Fair. I had the opportunity to go this past year. It's quite an incredible experience. If you think the ALA show floor is big, you should go to Guadalajara, wear good walking shoes. It's quite spectacular, quite an experience. All right. We will now take up new business. Would ALA Councilor Cynthia Cizak please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 35, revised, Resolution on Publishers and Practices which Discriminate Against Library Users.
Resolved that the American Library Association opposes the discriminatory policies of publishers and distributors which adversely impact access to content by library users, and resolved that the Working Group on Digital Content in Libraries be directed to review the situation and recommend appropriate action and/or appropriate parties who should be informed of this resolution.
Would the mover like to speak to the resolution?
Yes, I would. First, I'd like to thank my colleagues for their patience. I know this showed up on Council 1, and there was some discussion and negotiation to change the original resolution. I will tell you that this resolution came out of the New Jersey Library Association. We adopted a resolution, and they asked me as chapter counselor to bring it forward to the American Library Association, and I was proud to do so. We feel, and I'm speaking now on behalf of my chapter, not on behalf of all of you, we feel that libraries are being marginalized in the type of content that can be purchased. seems that we're constantly getting updates that yet another publisher and yet another distributor will either not sell to libraries or sell a modified version of materials. And we felt it was very important to make a statement about discriminatory practices. Some members of one wise a colleague said to me, council resolutions may be viewed to have limited power, but their biggest power is speaking to the members. And I think that's the most important thing that can happen with this. I will tell you that I did attend the first meeting of the working group on digital content so I can get a sense of their discussion. And I was encouraged to have to hear what was transpiring there. And I did speak with the two chairs, and one of their requests, and I'll be quite frank with you, that's why you can see the edited version, is that we remove the names of the publishers as they go forward with negotiations. And I was happy to do that as long as the intent regarding the discriminatory practices of publishers and distributors went forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone six.
Mario Gonzalez, Councilor at Large, and I'm a seconder on this resolution. I'd like to mention that when libraries are restricted from providing materials that our users want to use, it's kind of a sad situation. I have been reading statistics that only 6% of the American public read e-books. More importantly, 94% do not. So I personally don't see why publishers would not want to expand their products to libraries that provide access to reading and provide access to viewing by limiting that access. So I encourage you to support this resolution.
Thank you. Microphone seven.
John Mormon, IFRT counselor. Intellectual Freedom Roundtable endorses this resolution in principle.
Thank you. Microphone six.
Valerie Bell, counselor at large, also a New Jersey librarian. And I encourage the council to vote for this resolution because it brings forth issues of importance to all libraries. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone seven.
Al Kagan, CERT counselor. I seem to have misplaced my copy from yesterday. Are there any more copies available? And if not, could we hear what the changes were?
Everyone else has a copy. Microphone six.
Larry Romans, counselor at large, who's trying to see how many times he can stand up and speak at this particular session. First of all, I'd like to apologize to the Washington office. My not being able to find sufficient information had more to do with searcher doofusness than it did with the Washington office. The second resolved, as chair of the resolutions committee, the second resolved again is in the subjunctive, and it needs to say that the American Library Association directs the working group on digital content in libraries, and then the rest is changed. So the word directs goes in place of that, and you take out the words
okay.
Direct.
Okay. Can we have this in writing if we're changing this? Because we need to think about it. It's housekeeping, however, which is how I was hearing it. So. If you're comfortable with it being housekeeping, Larry, would you just read how you want it to read? And then if people hear it and it sounds fine, then we can consider it a housekeeping.
Okay. Resolved that the American Library Association, one, opposes, and that remains the same, and two, directs the working group on digital content in libraries to review the situation and recommend appropriate action and or appropriate parties who should be informed of this resolution.
Is there any objection to, does everyone hear this as just a cleaning up of the language, in which case we can delegate this to the executive director? Yes. All right, thank you. Microphone seven.
Paula Brumheger, Counselor at Large. First, I'd like to thank the counselors who worked on this resolution for bringing it forward. I agree completely with the statement that our members have wondered where we've been on this issue. I do, however, agree with the thought that this is perhaps a little more strident than I'm comfortable with and somewhat combative in the overt naming of some vendors. So I'm not sure that's not the direction we'll ultimately take. I'm just not sure if the timing is the best for us, because I think that there's going to need to be a partnership and the considerations of our members have to be the priority, but the reality of what is unfolding in this evolving market is something we have to think about, and I would hate to alienate individuals or publishers or vendors who ultimately may be our partners long term. But again, I really appreciate it coming forward, and I do think we have to be a lot more vocal and active and urgent in our response to all of these things that are happening.
Thank you. Microphone 7.
Mike Marlin, Counselor at Large. I believe it's the second whereas clause, and I apologize, I don't have the electronic copy plugged into my ears right now, about the limitations not been provided by publishers and distributors, and I'm wondering if that could be amended to include rationale provided in addition to rationale for these limitations provided, because I believe that's part of the issue too. So I also want to like to thank the counselors who brought this forward very much.
You think that's housekeeping too? Okay. We have some concern that goes a little beyond housekeeping, so we're going to need, if that's an proposed amendment, we need to have it in writing for the projectionist so we know what we're voting on. Keith?
Microphone Keith.
Microphone Keith.
So.
Microphone Keith.
Thank you. My answer to that is that I'm not sure that the absence of a rationale it's not just a housekeeping thing. I'm not sure that we're concerned about their rationale. I think it's their actions.
I think one of the things we want to be clear on is that when we ask the executive director to do the housekeeping part, that we don't start pushing things over there that seem to be more than that. So that's what I hear you saying. So. Mike, if you can actually amend this wording to the way you would like us to, then we would have to vote on it, and we need to get it to the projectionist. What I would like to do is go head on with the people who are at the microphones while you're doing that, and then we'll come back to you. Microphone 6.
Ryan Schottlander, Alex Division Counselor and a member of the Digital Content Working Group. I join my colleague at microphone 7 in commending the counselors who have brought this resolution to the floor, and I agree that any discussion the association has as a consequence of this resolution is all to the good. I would ask, however, whether the movers and seconders might share with us why they think the American Library Association has not already gone on record as opposing these practices in the very act of creating the DCWG, and to what extent they think the charge to the DCWG does not already include the actions recommended in the second resolved clause.
Let me respond, first of all, to the question about already being on record. One of the things that's happened with the whole area of digital content is there's been a lot of conversation and dialoguing and programming and other kinds of things like that, but until the council adopts a resolution, we don't have anything that's really stated policy. If this resolution is adopted, then it would be the policy of the American Library Association. So that is, I think, the step partly that Councillor Cezak was raising at the beginning. I believe these issues are covered in the charge that we gave to the Digital Content Working Group. We expect things will continue to move forward, and it will be necessary to do additional policy adoptions in the future, and perhaps even modify this one slightly if the Digital Content Group comes forward with something that they think is better. But if we don't have something adopted by council, it really, we can't say it's the policy of the American Library Association. Microphone number two.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large. I would recommend that we stay with the simplicity of the two resolves. The rationale is explained in the whereases and therefore flows to the resolves. I very much appreciate that the people who made the original resolution coming out of the chapter, the New Jersey chapter, took out all reference to specific publishers because I don't think we need that ball of wax. However, I do believe that this is not strident language. The policies are discriminatory, and I think we have to be on record that is the case.
Thank you. Microphone seven.
Paula Bremheger, Councillor at Large. Several of my fellow councillors forwarded the resolved or the new resolution to me, pointing out that not only the publishers but also the vendor had been removed. I appreciate that, but I did want to state I still feel like this is perhaps a little bit too strident at this point in the discussion, despite the fact that the resolution is a little bit different. I do want to once again state my feeling that it may be not exactly what we need right now. Thank you.
Microphone six.
I was just going to respond to Councilor Schottlander's.
Can you identify yourself, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Cindy Cizek, New Jersey Chapter Councilor. So sorry. And I thank President Raphael for giving some explanation of how this becomes policy and why we felt it was important to bring it forward. I also wanted, regarding the charge to the Digital Content Working Group, or the working whatever, we also have some concerns that we did not squeeze into this resolution that don't actually fall into the area of digital content. For example, audio and visual materials and some databases are also being limited. For example, Warner Brothers distribution policy now regarding new releases. I want to tell you that I was going to try to squeeze it into the resolution, but when I was at the meeting of the working group on digital content, I was encouraged to hear some of those members discuss those very topics. But I still felt it was important to stress to them, and I told that to the chairs, how important we felt their work was and how broad a net we wanted them to cast regarding these practices.
Thank you. Are we going to have an amendment coming forward? Yes. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves for a little bit. Microphone five.
Andrew Pace, Councillor at Large. I tend to agree with my colleague Paula about the sort of strongly worded nature of some of this. I'd like to suggest perhaps one nuanced but important word change in the first resolved. And it's just one word. If we changed opposes the discriminatory policies to opposes any discriminatory policies.
Is that housekeeping? Is there any objection to changing the to any? Yes, there is objection. Does that hand mean there was objection? Yes. Okay, there is objection, so we'll have to actually vote on that. You can put it into an amendment. We'll vote on it one way or the other. I think we have the other amendment coming forward. Microphone seven.
Doc Roth, Councillor at Large, in the area of minor grammatical comments. In the first whereas, the last few words, joining several other publishers, I believe those are no longer needed since we've removed the names of the publishers.
Right. We actually saw that as just an editorial correction that the executive director could make, but thank you. Microphone number two.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large, making a point of common sense. We are beginning to wordsmith and, a word here or there. Please, we discussed so much last night at Forum. Hopefully, we're not going to spend the next hour on these, ands, or anys.
Thank you. Microphone number seven.
It's
I assume that my amendments...
Could identify yourself, please?
Mike Marlin, Councillor at Large.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. My amendment to the second whereas clause adds the words, nor has a rationale for these limitations been provided. I understand some of the concerns about stridency. I just want to say that as someone who's representing people who are visually impaired, the e-books may be the future for our access to published content, because right now the number of books available to people who are reading or print disabled is less than 1% of the total number of books published each year. So I feel strongly about this cause, and think I would like to hear from publishers why they're not wishing to provide this content.
I would like to suggest that we, because this is an amendment to the whereas clause, and I understood it originally as an amendment to the resolve clause, that if there is an, I'll read it, but if there is an object, is not objection, then we don't actually have to vote on it. Okay, so this would read now, whereas the limitations imposed by publishers and distributors have not been clearly defined, nor has the rationale for these limitations been provided, and. If there's no objection, we will add that to the whereas clause. Since it's not the resolve clause, we will not ask you to vote on it. Seeing no objection, we will add that. Thank you, Mike. Is there still another amendment that's coming forward on the... Okay, this is on the screen. I'll read now how this the amendment that we would be discussing and voting on would be in the first resolve clause, which says, resolve that the American Library Association opposes any discriminatory policies of publishers and distributors which adversely impact access to content by library users. The word any would be substituted for the word the. So instead of reading opposes the discriminatory policies, it would read opposes any discriminatory policies. So the discussion now is on the amendment. Seeing no one at the microphone, we will now vote on the amendment to substitute any for the. Do I need to read it again, the opposed? Everybody is ready? All those in favor of the amendment, please raise one of your hands. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The amendment carries. We're now back to the amended motion. Oh, I'm sorry. Mark your ballots. CD number 35, amendment. I'm so happy to have prompters not only beside me, but also out there in front of me who can remind me to do that. Thank you. So we're now ready to move back to the main motion as amended. Is there any further discussion? Are you ready to vote? All those in, microphone six.
Sorry, Madam President. Brian Schottlander, Lex Division Counselor. So let me just note the sort of, forgive the pun, indiscriminate placement of the word discriminate throughout this document. So the title of it is Resolution blah, 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 which discriminate against. It should actually be that discriminate against, but okay. Then the first whereas has no reference to discrimination at all. And in fact, none of the whereases have any reference to discrimination. And then all of a sudden it comes back in the resolved clause. So the question that I have is the concern discriminatory policies, or is the concern policies that adversely impact access to content by users, which are not the same thing?
Microphone seven.
Paula Brumheger, Council at Large. Thank you. I agree. I was just trying to figure out where discriminate fit, and I agree that that is of concern, and I would urge everyone to really consider that because it's very specific language.
Council, it is the resolve clauses that are what goes forward. That's what goes into the policy manual. The whereas is become part of the history of how this happened, but it is the resolve clauses that are the policy that council is adopting, if that's of help. Microphone two.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large. I would object strongly to any stripping of discriminatory out of here because it is an access issue, and there has already, prior to all the things that we've just seen happening, there was a prior discrimination against individuals with disabilities, for example, by Amazon. When they had the ability, when the e-books came up, the voice out was part of it, and then they turned it off deliberately, and that removed access for a whole community of individuals with disabilities. So I see no problem with us being firm. I see no problem with us stating what the fact of the matter is, that it is removing access. And I object strongly to wanting to be always nicey-nicey in our statements. As long as we are polite, we can be firm. And this organization stands for certain principles about the whole issue of access.
Thank you. Microphone three.
Roberta Stevens, immediate past president. I have a question. Who is going to get this resolution? Is it going to be put out in a press release? I mean, in other words, the audience, it's a very specific audience, so how is this being directed out to that audience?
Go ahead.
The second resolve clause has two specifics. One is that it would go to the working group, and then it then asked the working group to perhaps give some insight into how this would be distributed. At the same time, and I'll, you know, Molly can jump in if I'm off base here. Yes, it would go out as a press release. And second of all, we are going to be meeting with some of the unnamed publishers in about a week and a half. And I think that this resolution takes a very clear position with regard to our concerns about some of their actions.
Thank you.
It's actually less than a week, Keith, that we're meeting with the publishers. I know it seems like we were talking about this, but it's next week that we're meeting with the publishers. I would just add and echo what Keith said. This actually will make it possible for us to walk in and sit down with the publishers and talk about what the resolve clauses have said as a policy of the American Library Association. That's just for your information. I'm not advocating one position or the other, but just explaining that it would be used in our meetings if it were adopted. Microphone six.
Once again, Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. Although the whereases don't actually use the word discriminate, number one and number three, four of the whereases actually do talk about discriminatory practices. So I think there is a match.
Thank you. Microphone five.
Michael Porter, Councillor at Large and Executive Board Member. I think some of the overarching issues that are being serviced here is one that this is a critical issue that we are all aware needs more attention. I know we'll get through this process whether this goes through or not, but I think in my mind one of the most important things that's happening right now for us and for the Digital Content Working Group is that there seems to be a disconnect between their work and what council is thinking, and I think that will be resolved with time, but I think that needs to be given significant attention so that the actions of the working group are reflected in advance of concerns like this coming up again.
Thank you. Microphone seven.
Kathleen Kern, Russo Councillor and member of the Digital Content Working Group. Couple of things. I feel like we're being perhaps a little straight now because we weren't pushy before, and I think that's just fine. In terms of the word discriminatory, I read that as being used in the sense of price discrimination as well as other discrimination. And I think it is appropriate in this case. However, I am concerned that in looking at the resolved clauses alone without the whereases, since that's what's communicated, they are not specific enough in addressing issues of pricing and sales practices, and that that gets lost out of the statement.
Thank you. Microphone seven.
This is Suzanne Goodman, Montana counselor. I know that the folks back home will be interested in what ALA has to say about this issue, and they will probably hear a resolution speak more loudly than the inner workings of a work group. So for the sake of the membership and the folks back home in the trenches working today while we're here in Dallas having these wonderful conversations, I think we need to pass this resolution.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Sue Kam, Councillor at Large. In response to the concerns of other councillors where the resolution will be sent, the original resolution, which was distributed on the pink copy, has the resolutions form, and they are saying who will get this message.
Seeing no one else at the microphone, are we ready for a vote? Wait a minute. Microphone five.
One moment, please. Paula?
We did put together a resolution, and they have it over at, or an amendment. They have it over at microphone.
We've submitted an amendment. Brian Schottlander, Lex Division Counselor. Unfortunately, I'm unable to read the carbon copy.
Is it on the screen? Okay. Oops, I just lost the screen. Microphone two.
Call the question, Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large.
No, this is, I mean, we have, this resolution, I mean, this amendment has been submitted and is on the screen. I don't feel we should close debate until we allow this to, since it was submitted and on the screen.
On the topic?
On the topic of?
Of the amendment.
Oh, okay. So you're pulling back from, okay. So microphone two.
Since I can't call the question, I am saying again, very strongly, I object to us diluting things just because we want to be nice. The publishers have pushed us into a corner with this. They are refusing to sell things to us or restricting how we use the things we pay for. Why is it that the American Library Association always has to water things down to sound nice? I have been in the trenches for 40 years as a school librarian and a public librarian working on these issues, and I have seen different iterations of this issue, and the only way you get action is by pushing back and being honest about how you view the situation. It is discrimination, plain and simple. If you water this down and remove this, they will say motherhood and apple pie doesn't mean anything. You don't feel strongly about it. Goodbye.
And my apology, because we should have asked the mover of the motion to speak to it first, and I believe the mover is now at microphone seven.
Paula Bremheger, Councillor at Large. And do you need me to read this? It's on the screen.
Yes, just read it again.
Okay. So we have also asked that the title be slightly adjusted as well of the actual.
Wait, let's do that. Let's divide this. Okay. So Since we've already started on the discussion of the actual amendment, let's do that, and then we'll go back and do the title.
Okay.
So I can simply explain it to most of you can see it. It deletes the word discriminatory from the first whereas. So would you read the whereas clause as it would be with your deletion?
Resolve that the American Library Association opposes any policies of publishers and distributors which adversely impact access to content by library users. I believe the second resolve remains the same.
Okay, so now would the mover like to speak to the amendment?
Certainly. I appreciate very much the concern. I myself have been concerned about this for some time. The Digital Working Group can verify that when they came together, I asked many questions. I think libraries have been late to the game and not emphasizing enough our purchasing of e-books. But it is an evolving process, and I respect very much that we have to be as forceful as we can. On the other hand, I think that I would urge everyone to just consider what the practical outcome of this would be, because it's a very practical problem. And as Michael said, we have a working group, and I would like them to have the opportunity to work in an environment that isn't too contentious, in the hopes that we can then come to a situation that works for everyone more readily, and instead of having an opposition to some publishers who are in a whole new world as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And now we're speaking just to the amendment to delete the word discriminatory in the first resolve clause. Microphone 6.
Larry Romans, Councilor at Large. The effect of this amendment would be that we would oppose any publisher who charges for their publishing products, because that adversely affects access to content by library users. So basically, taking out the word discriminatory makes us look foolish. And the wording of that first resolved is not strident. It's just a statement. I don't see how anybody can see that as a slap to anybody. I think it's rather benign myself compared to what we ought to be doing. But taking out discriminatory just makes it silly.
Microphone 7.
Mike Marlin, Councilor at Large. I agree with Larry. I think that if we take a position or we do not take a position, and I think that if we don't include the word discriminatory, it's a little too wishy-washy. Dealing with publishers and going back to what I was alluding to earlier with the Reading Rights Coalition and the access to e-books for people who are visually impaired or otherwise print disabled. It took a group of a couple hundred blind people with canes protesting outside the Authors Guild in New York City for them to even come to the table to negotiate. So I think that this would be helpful. I would think that this would be helpful to Keith and Molly when they go to meet with the publishers to indicate that ALA is very concerned about this.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Cindy Cizak, New Jersey Chapter Counselor and the mover of this resolution. Working with my New Jersey Chapter colleagues, we thought long and hard about the choice of words and intentionally chose discriminatory. And I will tell you that my personal professional persona, this is pushing the envelope quite a bit for me, but something about that I feel is very necessary and I think accurately describes the situation, perhaps not in all libraries at this point, but my personal experience is primarily in public libraries, and it is discriminatory to public libraries.
Thank you. Microphone 6.
Mary Mallory, Counselor at Large. This is an exciting new world, and I think there are millions and billions of dollars at stake, and so I think it obviously is contentious, and I think their practices are discriminatory, so I hope we vote down the amendment. Thank you.
Microphone six.
Mario Gonzalez, Councillor at Large and seconder of the resolution. I strongly oppose deleting discriminatory because I believe that is the case. I am particularly referring to content in DVDs and movies where they are not allowing libraries to have the same DVD that a member of the public would have, and they delete content from that before we can lend it out to our users. So I strongly oppose this amendment.
Could I ask the group that's kind of clustered behind microphone seven if you'd step aside if you're not in line? It's hard for Joanne to make sure we're taking people in the correct order if you're clustered there. Microphone seven.
Brian Schottlander, Lex Division Counselor. Let me stipulate in response to Mario, I didn't know that. If that's true, that's pretty horrendous. But from a purely pragmatic vantage point, I want to suggest that Madam President and her two colleagues who are going to meet with three of the big six publishers next week are going to find themselves having a very different meeting than they perhaps thought they were going to have if the American Library Association has just gone on record as stating that the practices of those publishers are discriminatory.
Microphone seven.
Barbara Flynn, Councillor at Large. I agree with my colleagues that the word discriminatory should be kept in. Looking at it broadly, treating one group of buyers or users differently from another is discriminatory. There's no other word for it. Thank you.
Microphone seven.
Doc Roth, Councillor at Large. Words do matter. Sometimes changing one word makes a huge difference. In this case, the word discriminatory targets this and makes it powerful. Without the word discriminatory, it becomes very broad and open to a wide range of interpretations and loses the targeted nature that was intended by the drafters of this. So I would say keep discriminatory, and if you object to that, object to the entire motion. But don't change this. It's meant to target discriminatory practices.
Microphone two has already spoken to this, so I'm going to go to microphone four first.
Steve Matthews, Executive Board. I would just say that who's going to stand up for our users if we don't? It is totally discriminatory. If we don't say that now, then who are we? It seems to me that we want to talk about this. We want a dialogue. But it is discriminatory. There are lots and lots of people that won't have access if this doesn't stop. So we need to get on with it and keep it in there.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Elizabeth Riddler, call the question.
I don't see anyone else at the microphone, so I think we're ready for a vote. Now we're voting on the amendment, and the amendment is to delete discriminatory. So the new first resolve clause would read, opposes any policies of publishers and distributors which adversely impact access to content by library users. Would all those in favor of this amendment please raise one of your hands? Thank you. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The amendment is defeated. Mark your ballot, CD number 35, Amendment 2. Now, I split this question because we had the title as well as the resolved. So the title that was part of they just voted on the one word, but they didn't vote on the title. It was on the screen. It was what they said. I'm sorry, but what was on the screen for me was that there were two parts to this amendment. One was the title, and one was deleting the word discriminatory. We just voted down defeating the word, removing the word discriminatory, but the title was there as part of the amendment. I split it. So unless we, wait a minute, microphone seven.
That's fine. Thank you, Paula Bremheger, Councillor at Large, and the mover of the amendment. And I'm happy to withdraw it. I don't think it's going to pass. So I'll withdraw that title.
Is there any objection to withdrawal? It belongs to the body if it was an amendment that was put on the floor. No objection. Okay. Then we will not vote on the title. Now, I believe we're ready to vote on the main motion. Just so everyone is clear, I'm going to read the resolve clauses again. This is what you're voting on now. Resolve that the American Library Association, one, opposes any discriminatory policies of publishers and distributors which adversely impact access to content by library users. Two, directs that the Working Group on Digital Content in Libraries to review the situation and recommend appropriate action and or appropriate parties who should be informed of this resolution. All those in favor of the main motion as amend, as didn't we amend someplace? I don't know. Anyway, all those in favor of what I just read, please raise one of your hands. All those opposed, please raise one of your hands. Mark your ballot CD number 35 as amended. Thank you, Council. I will now call upon Keith Michael Fields for his final announcements. Keith?
Thank you, Molly. I want to report that we have received a number of petitions for Councillor at Large, and I'd like to go back and rewrite history by rereading the last one I read at our last session. And with apologies to candidate Sandy Wee, who has lovely handwriting. It's very calligraphic. Sandy Wee, who is the branch manager at the San Mateo County Library, Millbrae Library, in Millbrae, California. Aaron Dobbs, who is the Systems and Electronic Resources Librarian at Shippensburg University. Karen Downing, who's the Foundation and Grants Librarian at the University of Michigan Graduate Library in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jane Glasby, who's the Program Manager at the San Francisco Public Library, Library for the Blind and Print Disabled in San Francisco, California. Chin-Fang P. Lin, who's the Associate Professor of the Department of Information and Communications at Shih-Sin University, Department of Information and Communications in Taipei, Taiwan. Gail Schlachter, who is the President of Reference Service Press, Reference Source Press, in El Dorado Hills, California. Karen G. Schneider, the Director for Library Services at Holy Names University, Paul J. Cushions Library in Oakland, California. And those are the petitions we have received. Let me also report on the final or just about final registration totals for Dallas, and that includes 4,823 advanced, 1,413 on-site registrants for a grand total of about 6,000, exactly 6,236 registrants and 3,693 exhibitors for a grand total of 9,929. I will note that while this is lower than our figure in San Diego or Boston, the advance registration, in fact, was very close. Most of the differential in the registration has to do with on-site walk-in registrants. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone six.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large. I'd ask the Council's indulgence to allow Lois Ann Gregory Wood to speak to the council.
Is there any objection? Microphone six.
Well, this is certainly different. I just really wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate it. I am truly heartfelt. It is a great honor to work with you guys because I think that the work that you do is so outstanding. So I really encourage each and every one of you to continue the great fight. You do it so well, and it is well worthy for not only America but for the world. So I really appreciate it and continue to do what you do. I also would like for you to join me. See, it makes me teary. To join me in thanking Danielle Alderson, Jack Gertz, and also Valeria Edwards, because Jack Gertz and Valeria work in Reaper Graphics, and Danielle is definitely my silent partner, and I could not do this without her. So could I have a round of applause for them?
Thank you, Lois Ann. Microphone five. Wait a minute. Oops. Microphone five.
Xu Dongjin, Councillor at Large. I'm a new councillor, and this is the first time I participate in the three council meetings. New councillor just not a new face. Sometimes they have new ideas, although some ideas may be very strange. Here I have one. So, when I attended Saturday's cancer orientation, I asked a question, and Marine is there. Where can get the council's even agenda or other documents, committees, reports? Then people told me I can get those materials at the table when the meeting starts. I think now I understand this is good and great, very really organized and updated. So I like this. And for the 3 days meeting, I learned a lot. Efficiency, very organized, very informative, and everything is just fine and very good. I worked for CALA for many years, served as a chapter president, CALA board member for 3 years, CALA president 2 years ago, CALA executive committee member for 4 years. I find, even as you know, in the past years, CALA has been improved a lot and achieved a lot. We make a lot of achievements. However, I do think something is happening gradually there. For example, in the past, probably at least 3 years, when we have board meetings, we don't have even half board members attend our board meeting. So we cannot vote for any action items. Then, when I was a president, I have to make online board meetings after AOA and midwinter. This midwinter and Tuesday, CALA's board meeting, I was told the board meeting only conducted about 10 minutes. Then all, because no enough member there, then all the action items voted by the executive committee. I think it's unusual and it's not right. I believe CALA and other chapters will go in right direction and will continue achievements. But I just thought, I wish I could attend one of these council meetings before I serve as the president. So I know how to handle our board meetings, how to do that. So Now I have a suggestion. I don't know if I can make.
If you could finish up where we've got some people waiting here, and we're not in official debate, but you're over your 3 minutes. So if you could finish and offer your suggestion, that would be greatly appreciated.
Okay,
thank
I have a suggestion or motion here to request all newly elected ALA divisions, chapters, caucus, vice president, president-elects to observe at least one LA council meeting before they do their position. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone 7.
Joe Pinder, councillor at large. I've been sitting here for a long, many, many years, and I've sat through a couple of awkward times when we voted on life memberships. And I know that we have changed that procedures a little bit over the years. And I don't know whether this is driven by our parliamentary procedures or not, but I would ask that the executive board and or the parliamentarian look at how we do life memberships and if we would completely close it, whether we were going to oppose them or not. Because I think when we go into closed session, only if we're going to oppose, it sends a message. So I think that our life membership debate should be in closed session. Thank you. Oh, honorary, thank you. Our honorary memberships. Those of us who are old enough remember when, for the short window of time, we could buy life memberships, and unfortunately, I should have financed the house to do it.
Thank you. Microphone 7.
Peter Hepburn, GLBT Roundtable Counselor. The GLBT Roundtable wishes to recognize our Roundtable member and Counsel at Large, Larry Romans, and his partner of over 40 years, Mike Morgan. In view of their recent significant donation, we are proud to have renamed the Roundtable's Youth Literature Award, the Stonewall Book Awards, Mike Morgan and Larry Romans Children's and Young Adult Literature Award, that was part of the Youth Media Awards yesterday. We're very grateful to Larry and Mike for their generosity.
And I had the good fortune to have that be one of the awards that I presented. So it was a great honor to do that. Thank you. Microphone 7.
Mike Marlin, Councillor at Large. Thank you to all councillors who have helped me through this first meeting and to our president and everyone else. I appreciate it. I just wanted to make one request that if chairs of committees, if there's any way they could get their reports submitted to Lois Ann and as far in advance as possible, since I'm reading the electronic copy, if I could get it sometime before the night before a meeting to give myself time to read it and not have to stay up till 2 a.m., that would be very much appreciated. So a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever you can do.
Thank you, Councillor Marlin. Keith?
Yes, because I, too, answer to Lois Ann. Don't forget to put your empty portfolios in the storage boxes at the back of the room.
So let me make a suggestion that perhaps committees might consider, which is those resolutions get done before probably the entire report is done. And I'm wondering if there might be some way of posting the resolutions so council could have access to resolutions that are coming forward, even if the full report is not ready till 10 o'clock the night before. I can see most of you have already passed in your voting cards. If you have not, be sure to do so and be sure that you sign them. If you didn't sign them, they will not be counted. This concludes our agenda. And if there is no objection, the chair declares the third meeting. My gavel's gone. The chair declares the third meeting of the ALA Council adjourned. Have a safe trip home, and we'll see you all in Anaheim. Thank you all. Could all the executive board members please come up to the stage so we can decide when we're going to meet? We already know that, right? 11. Yeah. No, he knows. He knows 11. Yeah. So the projectionist will be ready at 11. I mean, not projectionist, but the audio, so we're going to meet at 11. Unless somebody has a real problem, but I just think that way we get lunch, we'll eat the lunch whenever it comes. But we'll